Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Braves playing some long ball right now. Ronnie is homered. Murphy is homered. Riley is homered. 4-1. Take that, Minnesota. The all-time single season. And we just talked about, Ryan, how third of an inning, four hits, four earned runs, no walks and a strikeout. He's got 20 pitches. They just beat the tar feathers out of him. Just bombs away. Well, John Collins traded. Our long national nightmare is over. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Brad Rowland. He is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, the daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at BT Rowland. Brad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Happy to do it, and always happy to talk with you about anything, really, with regard to Atlanta sports across the board.
Well, listen, I guess this was inevitable, and I guess, you know, it's a salary dump, but at the same time, I don't think that they were ever going to get anything of real value back. I think the value is, honestly, the salary savings, the exemption, the roster spot. But from a player standpoint, you know, it's Rudy Gay and a second-round pick. But did you feel like they were ever going to get really anything back compensation-wise in return for a trade of John Collins?
As far as this offseason is concerned, basically no. I think it was going to be something like this. Perhaps around the draft, there would have been more of like a pick swap, that kind of thing. There's a little bit more relatability and what you could get around the draft. But the mistake, really, if you want to point to one in terms of not trading him, would have been trading him well earlier than this. They would have gotten more than this for John Collins a year ago or 2 years ago. As far as this offseason is concerned, they basically were just looking to get off the contract. They can spend it however they want to, but it's the savings that they're looking for and the flexibility that comes along with that. But, yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay is basically, you know, dead salary at this point in time, and they're just looking to sell that money for the future. And I do understand all the rationale there. Of course, it's not a basketball trade at that point. It's more about just shuffling the deck chairs with regard to the money. But this is kind of what I expected.
Brad, I know hindsight is always 20/20. Was it a mistake to give John Collins the $125 million contract when they did?
I think it hasn't gone well, for sure. And I said this before, but if you look at the way that landscape was, if you go back to that time, it's a little bit revisionist, of course. But the Hawks were kind of fitting against themselves. There wasn't really a huge market for John, and they could have probably sweated it out a little bit longer and made him kind of pay a little bit less in terms of what they actually paid him. You know, as far as like, retaining him, I think that was always going to happen, and it probably should have. The timing of that was just the case where they were coming off the great run that they had, and it was always going to be him coming back to the team. But they could have played a little bit more hardball with that contract, and certainly, given what they're trading for him to give him basically away for nothing now, it doesn't look fantastic.
2 years, the value that he's got on the team the last 2 years, you know, getting off in the toilet the last 2 years. So I think all things equal, probably not. But you know, in the NBA, if you're trying to win, you want to retain your assets, especially when you're coming off that kind of piece of the Hawks head. So keeping him was only going to be what happened. That's just kind of the reality. But they could have been a little bit better with the way they negotiated that contract.
All right, let's put Brad on hold for just a second as we get his audio fixed and potted back up on there. So Brad Rowland is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast talking about your Atlanta Hawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Brad is joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Brad, we got you for a better connection now.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it was my headphones disconnected. So here we are. I was just talking to nobody. My apologies.
No, it's all right. We kind of heard you in an echo chamber, so that's what we heard. You know, look, I'm not mad at the decision to trade John Collins and even the compensation, but how important does this next move become? Because won't that kind of give us the idea of, okay, we're either going to be a team that's going to contend or luxury tax, or it just feels like that. It's setting up that the next move has to be somebody that's a difference maker for this roster.
Yeah, I do think that it's going to have to be something bigger, especially to sell it to your fans. You know, when you're making a trade like this, you know, you can't really sell that they got better with that deal on Monday. So as far as the setup is concerned, there's still some work to be done. They're still in a place where they have some contracts that are not great. The front court is kind of, you know, disjointed. But they're setting up for, if they want to, kind of a bigger splash. The problem is they've already traded, you know, 2-3 first-round picks in the future. That's usually what the capital that you're going to use in those kind of big splash trades. But I think this is definitely more of a retooling effort. It's not a rebuild. But when you play the way they played the last 2 years, it's really kind of hard to run it back. And, you know, Collins is the first step. But I do think that it's going to be more of a pointed roster change versus tweaking on the margins eventually. I'm not sure if it's going to be now. I think the Hawks might just kind of run it back a little bit around the margins this year. But as far as like a year from now, if the results are similar, you got DeJounte Murray expiring, all that fun stuff. Like, they're going to have to make some bigger decisions at some point.
Do you think that if Quinn Snyder wanted John Collins to be here and be on this roster, that he would still be here?
I think it would have helped for sure. You know, I hesitate to say definitively because Quinn has said himself, I know we talked to Jeff Schultz and others, like, he said that he's not in control of the roster, and I do believe him. I think he has a big say on the roster, and especially when you're a guy who just got here with a lot of power in a five-year contract. I think if you went into Landry Fields' office or Tony Russell's office and said, please don't trade John Collins, they probably wouldn't have done it, if that makes sense. You know, coaches don't often do that. They kind of, especially new guys that are just coming in, they don't go to the mat like that. And ultimately, I think from the top down, they were always going to trade someone with a bigger contract this offseason. But sure, I think if Quinn had really like said, this is my guy, don't trade him, that does have some serious sway if that were to happen.
So what does the $25 million exemption that the Hawks have mean in the grand scheme of things? What do they do with that?
Well, the answer is maybe nothing. Trade exceptions can be really useful. They can also be assets that never really do anything for you. Basically, what it can do is the Hawks are allowed to now take up to $25 million in a trade for a player or players in the same deal without having to match salary. Now, the problem with that is if they were to do that, they would be way, 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 way over the luxury tax. And I think that's not really something that's probably going to happen in the near future. But it doesn't have to be all that money either. If they want to go out and, you know, trade for a guy that has a salary in the $12 million range, $15 million range, they can take that guy in now without having to send anything back. And that flexibility can be very useful, especially in a league now where there's – I mean, honestly, the Hawks are one of these teams this week. There are teams that are trying to get off salary for not a lot in return for just financial reasons. And perhaps the Hawks can turn around and grab a guy that is very useful to them from another team that's trying to sell. So long story short, it's an asset that could be very useful. Also, this happens all the time where teams have these exceptions and you never even know about them. Like, for instance, the Justin Holiday one the Hawks just had for a year. They're now using it, but they didn't have to use it. It's one of those things where it can be appealing and you can kind of sell it that way, but also it may expire without actually being used.
So I guess the question becomes, I mean, when you have a supermax player that's on your roster, it feels like it's hard to avoid the luxury tax unless you just have the most outstanding drafts in the history of the NBA with it, right? I mean, you know, you've got to, you know, it's like the NFL. I mean, when you have a $50 million quarterback, you better have top-notch first-round draft picks and have cheap labor on your roster or you're going to be over the cap. So short of all of that, and Trey's not going anywhere, but how difficult is the building of this roster to avoid a luxury tax when you have a guy that's in the $40 to $42, $44 million range, forgetting even what everybody else has? When you've got a guy that's almost a third of that luxury tax number, it does feel like it's hard to build a roster that doesn't dip their toe into that luxury tax.
I think you're right, 100%. It's not impossible, like you said, but it is inherently difficult in the current landscape to have a max guy. And look, this is not to say Trae Young's not worth the max. He is. Trae Young's a max player. He's a superstar player. But when you have someone like that making that much money, it is hard to simultaneously build a team that is very good and also be under the luxury tax. That's a very sort of narrow thread that you're trying to get through. This year's Nuggets team, for instance, like in the past, they haven't paid the luxury tax. This year was the first time they really kind of went into the tax comfortably and they won the title. Now, that does not necessarily tell you that they're always going to win the title, but it does tell you that like those extra expenditures can really do a lot on the margins for you. And look, in the NBA, you can't just have one player. Now, DeJounte Murray is a really good player, but even after this season, if you were to retain DeJounte, it's going to be for $30, $35 million a year. Like, it's not going to be – he's not going to be making $17 million anymore. Now you have two guys making $75 million, $80 million, and then that's even harder. So, long story short, yeah, I think that Tony Ressler has said that he'll pay the tax when necessary. We haven't seen that just yet, but one of the reasons why that kind of has to be the tenor is that if you are trying to build a contender, as I think the Hawks are definitely trying to do, eventually you're going to have to pay for it because otherwise it's just almost impossible to do.
Yeah, and, you know, coincidentally, now Joker goes into his Supermax deals, right? I mean, you know, now it's
yep.
Now it's $47.50. I mean, you know, at that point, you're gonna be in it whether you want to be in it or not. Brad Rowland joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, the network. What do you think ultimately happens with DeJounte Murray? I know you and I have talked about this, but do you think that there's a contract offered to him over the summer? Do you think that he comes out and makes a statement that he's going to test free agency? Like, what do you think the future is? Because, again, you really do have to kind of think about the long term, because if this thing goes really well, okay, now it's going to probably cost you a lot of money. And I don't know if he wants to sign a contract this summer because, again, he's potentially going to be a high-priced free agent. What do you think ultimately happens with him?
Yeah, it's a situation right now this summer where it's neither side's fault, and that's important to point out. It's just the nature of the CBA right now where his last contract was such a bargain that the Hawks are basically only allowed to offer him so much an extension. Now, I expect the Hawks to offer that extension, if I had to guess, as far as this weekend, actually, is when they're technically allowed to offer that extension. But everyone around the league that I have talked to, and I mean everyone around the league, believes that Murray's not going to take it, and he probably shouldn't. I think he's going to get more than that on the market a year from now. So unless he just suddenly prioritizes the safety of having that contract signed now, I think the consensus is going to be that he's going to hit free agency in a year. And that's tricky. And I think that's probably why you've at least heard his name out there in trade stuff. I think the Hawks have not been shopping DeJounte Murray, from what I understand, but they've had some conversations about him. And I think it would be malpractice not to, just because of the situation. He could leave on his own volition in a year, and there is nothing the Hawks can do to stop him. And that's a tough spot to be in when you're a Hawks team that has him as your second-best player who you traded a boatload for a year ago. It's precarious, but they kind of knew that was going to happen when they made the trade. At least they should have, because this was always going to be the case 2 years after making that deal. He was going to probably hit free agency. And it might just be a waiting game, and you hope that you win this year, and you kind of sell him internally on sticking around. But next July, about a year from now, he's probably going to be able to speak to any team that he wants to and sign at the highest bidder, and that's always perilous for the incumbent team.
Does it make sense for Kobe Bufkin to be on this active roster, or is it better for him to go to College Park and start every night and accumulate minutes and get, you know, into the lifestyle of a professional player? What makes more sense at the end of the day for Kobe Bufkin?
I think a lot of that will depend on whether he's going to be on the fringes of the rotation or not. I think if he's just never playing in Atlanta, you will see him in College Park, kind of in the way that Jalen Johnson did 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where it was very clear Jalen was not going to play for the big league club unless there were multiple injuries. And because of that, they smartly sent him to College Park and said, okay, he has to play. What you don't want to happen is your first round pick to just not be playing anywhere. That's not really a tenable situation. So if he earns, like, you know, the 9th or 10th spot in the rotation, I'm not saying he has to play every single night, but he has to be playing basketball regularly. And if he's not, part of the appeal of having College Park down the street is that he can go down there and play one night and come back to the Hawks the next night. Because you also wanted to have him be around your guys, be around your systems, be around Quinn Snyder, and learn from those guys. But in the end, he has to be on the court. So it's really going to depend on who's in front of him, if they sign guys in front of him. But he's also 19, and he's a rookie, and this is a team trying to win. So it's kind of a delicate balance. Last year, A.J. Griffin was just too good, basically, to not play. We'll see if Buck can kind of follow that landscape, but it could be more like Johnson. And if that's the case, he might spend more time in College Park.
So last question, Brad. How important does A.J. Griffin and Jalen Johnson become for this roster this particular year?
I think very important. Whether they're starting or not, it will kind of depend on who else is around them. But I think both for this year and I think crucially in the future, they're going to need those guys. We talked about the salary cap situation earlier. They're spending a lot of money on some players, and these are guys that they're hoping can be not necessarily always going to be stars, but certainly going to be starters for them 2, 3, 4 years from now. And you have to see signs of that now. I think we saw signs of that last year, but another step forward. They're very young and providing depth. But look, make no mistake, they're going to have to play, especially Jalen now that John Collins is gone. He's in a much more prominent role than he was in a year ago. So I would circle both of those guys. And fortunately, they have the talent as former top prospects to be able to return some value there.
Brad Rowland, he is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks. And he joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at BT Rowland as well. Brad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes tonight on the show. We will certainly chat again with you here soon.
Thanks, John. Sorry about the connection earlier.
Nah, no problem, no problem. When we come back from the top of the hour, will be time for the Falcons flyover. All of your look at the news and notes of the Atlanta Falcons for today. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% fan cash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.